Welcome to the newest, fairest love podcast, Single Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here, we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional, and personal growth. And finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
All right. We are back. We are back together in the same space again, which doesn't happen too often, but here we are. Rarely. Doing a couple of these this way. And last week we talked about this documentary, Don't Die, and how we want to live like we're dying instead of what this documentary offers. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk homework first? Do you want to talk joys first?
Joys, homework.
Okay, great. What was your joy of the week?
So it's kind of like a bigger joy. I've been on the road I've been pretty much like forever. Out of my home base for, it'll be close to 50 days. And I'm actually really grateful for that. Like, I think there's been a lot of like growth and joy in that for me. And I needed that. Kind of one of my friends was like, this is like your eat, pray, love journey. And I was like, well, but actually, it can be like, you know, this kind of opportunity
without all the random hookups. Eat, pray, love.
Oh gosh, yeah.
No. If you've read that book or watched the movie, I have not, but
I've seen the movie.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, but it's been a joy to be kind of away and have had all these different experiences and to just kind of get maybe a refresher, a different perspective, some space on some things in my life and next steps and things like that. And so that's actually been, I was reflecting on this and I'm like, wow, like what a gift, like what a joy to be on the road for so long and have that opportunity.
I'm going to say the opposite of it, but I travel a lot for work and like there, not last year, not in 2024, but in 2023, I was on the road like 240 days of the year. That's a lot. It was a lot. And this year, 2025 is looking like it's going to be the same. I'm traveling a lot. I'm going abroad twice, like the whole deal. And so I just have really loved just being home this week and like getting back into the swing of what things look like when I'm home, which is a very different rhythm. It's a very different just overall everything.
Sure.
When I'm home, and obviously I also love traveling, so I don't mind being on the road, but there's just something really nice about like just having the breather of being in my space and getting back into that rhythm. So I'm going to say that was my joy. Kind of the opposite of you, but
it doesn't matter.
I know.
Joy is individual.
Exactly.
So what were your takeaways from last, not necessarily takeaways, but the thought exercise, the homework was to sort of think about, you know, the ways in which we maybe delay living our life.
Mm-hmm. So even as we were talking last week about it, and then I was thinking about it, my answer is going to sound like the opposite of what this really is. But so in 2025, one of the things I'm trying to do is slow down because I am a crazy person who runs all over the place and does a million things. And like, for instance, in 2024, I listened to 116 or I read / listened to 116 books. Some of them were physical books that I read. Most of them were audiobooks that I listened to at 2-point speed or 2.25 speed.
Stresses me out.
Et cetera. Anyway, and then when we were talking about, you know, delaying life, et cetera, I was thinking, like, I think sometimes I have this, like, scarcity mindset of, like, I only have so much time, so, like, I've got to listen on 2.2 speed because, like, then I can get through more books in a year. And I was thinking, like, maybe I just need to listen on, like, 1.75 speed. I really cannot listen at one speed. It's literally painful. I know you're going to say you can, literally, but I literally can't. But so I just started listening on, like, a slightly lower speed, which I think is kind of helping. And then I'm also trying to just read more physical books or even just, like, on the Kindle instead of listening to just kind of slow down.
Yeah, that, like, life is not about productivity or getting things done, like part of living our life is also like relishing in, mm-hmm. in God's goodness.
Exactly.
And so to slow down and like, did I finish a book or did I enjoy the book? And so right. I think that that's actually a really, I think that's an interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe some people would like hear this question and think about the things they could add to their life, but
I'm literally trying to not add.
We can also, well, we can also live more fully. Like right. what does a more enriched life look like? And for some of us, it mm-hmm. may be slowing down and learning right. to rest, learning to enjoy, learning to relish in
right.
the gifts and the beauties around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was actually my takeaway from it.
I love that.
To just, yeah, oh. not be so caught up in productivity and the numbers.
Gross. So I would say I think I realized that I don't like doing things alone. Maybe this is the product of being kind of middle to end of a large family. Like I was never alone growing up. And so I hate it.
And you're an extrovert. So. Yeah.
So I hate it. And so I find that I often delay certain things for when I have like a partner in crime.
Oh, interesting.
So like activities, interests, hobbies. I'm like these things. I'm like, well, it's better. It would be better to do with someone, right? And maybe it's probably true that it is. But I, you know, so the challenge is to start to do things and to be more comfortable with doing certain things alone, because there's like, if you want to do those things, like go do them and don't wait for someone else to necessarily join you. It doesn't mean that you can't invite a friend or so forth, but I think I often find, or I found that there are things that I'm like, it would be better if I was in a relationship, or like, I want to go do that thing, but like, I want to do it like with someone. Mm. And I'm kind of at the point where I'm thinking, you know, yeah, but that's still a form of delaying.
Right.
And so, like, what are things that I can do now by myself to kind of stretch and grow, but mm-hmm. to take in the things that I really want to be taking in?
I love this, too, because you and I are really similar in a lot of ways, and then we're, like, polar opposites in others. So, like, for me, I would do everything alone, like, literally everything. And I have to stop myself and be like, okay, you've already gone hiking alone the last 4 times. Like, what friend are you going to call this time? Because I would prefer to go alone every time. But I know that's, like, not great, right? So, like, that is really funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things that I don't like going to restaurants alone. That's, like, that's...
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll do it. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's not like I'm, like, not going to go if I'm hungry, but...
I would not go.
Yeah, see, and I'm
like, I would not go. I would, like whatever. Order takeout and, like, go hide. Like,
I mean, I won't sit at the bar, I will tell you. I'm like, I want a table by myself. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to, like, settle up to the bar and be like, I don't want to be like that weird. But that's not really weird. If you love that, I'm so happy for you.
I'm impressed with the people who could do that.
Yeah, not me. But anyway, yeah. But that is really interesting that you're like, I got to do stuff on my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Being comfortable, like, with that. There's a lot of personal growth that comes with that kind of... Like, okay, like, you can do this alone.
Love it.
Yeah.
Good. So this week, we thought we'd talk about actually something that Monica saw on Instagram.
Inspirations on
Instagram. An inspiration that she got. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I think I... Sometimes I'm like, is my phone listening to me? Or is this, like, Holy Spirit?
Absolutely, your phone is listening to you. It might also be the Holy Spirit working through the algorithm, but...
Sometimes I wonder, though, but I'm like, I didn't even say this out loud, but...
Doesn't matter, man. The algorithms are smart. They're so dang smart. I mean, creepy. They're super cool. I could geek out on that. Okay, we're not. That's not what the episode's about.
I was, in all transparency, having a low day and a lot of, like, negative self-talk, a lot of, like, limiting and, like, negative beliefs that, you know... As being a therapist, as having had a therapist myself, like working through things, like there was a part of my brain that was like, this is not true. Mm. But the feelings that they elicited felt so true and so heavy.
Yeah.
And there were aspects of these like negative thoughts or these beliefs that were true, like, oh, that valid. Felt true, that they are true. But the belief I held about those thoughts are not. And I was just like, totally immersed in this negativity, in this negative space, and crying. And then I'm on Instagram, and this reel pops up. And I was like, oh, here we go. This reel pops up of this woman going through and stating everything she is not and does not have and does not yet have. And then reframing it. Well, in psychology, we'd call it reframing, but offering counter restating things that were also true. Mm-hmm. Like all but those.
Like a shift in perspective.
A shift in perspective from that negative belief or thought or experience or this aspect of her reality that could have a negative connotation, but could have a positive one. It just depends on your perspective. And so I was kind of like, oh, shoot, I saved it. And I was pretty struck by it. And kind of thinking about like, okay, how can I use this personal experience that I'm going through as a way to grow personally, as a way to deepen my relationship with God, but to also use it as something for others.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And do you remember any of the like phrases that she used?
Yeah.
Specifically?
Yeah. So, well, the first one, which probably caught me and made me stick with it, was algorithms. Because she goes, I think it started with, she said something like, I'm 34 and I'm not yet a mom, but I'm never without the opportunity to be nurturing. And I was like, oh, shoot.
Dagger. Yeah, yeah.
Because it resonated. Like, I was struggling, right? I was struggling with the singleness. I'm 30, like, I was figuring things out. Certain life events had happened that, like, just highlight those experiences.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, caught my... Mm-hmm. Piqued my interest. Now, like, her reframes, like, cognitively, like, in psychology, what Katie and I are going to do is a little bit more appropriate to the mind and to your full flourishing. But her idea, her sentiment was so moving and so valid. And I thought, you know, kind of like when your teacher tells you to, like, raise your hand and ask questions because someone else most likely has that question. I knew both in my personal and professional experience that I am not alone in having low days and in having these life experiences that I perceive as negative and needing to hear or to be validated in that, like, yes, that's an experience. And yes, that may be something you're going through. And yes, that's hard and it hurts. Mm-hmm. And also, there are other ways to look at this that promote your full flourishing instead of sitting in. I love sitting in the, like, oh, the heaviness sometimes because I'm like, it's true. It's heavy. It's hard.
I do not love that.
And then other times you have to be able to look at that and say, like, yes, and.
Yeah. What else?
So we're going to do that today.
Yeah. We came up with a list of a variety of limiting beliefs that I think both, whether you're situationally single, vocationally single.
Yeah. So here's.
Would work. Some maybe not.
Yeah. But. Okay. What is your sort of understanding of limited beliefs?
Okay. Well, before we start talking about this, when I heard the idea of limiting beliefs, because obviously I'm not trained psychologically speaking, it was, a belief that you had about yourself that isn't necessarily true. So let me give you an example. I would have told you if I were coming up with a set of limiting beliefs that I have, it would be something like, I'm never going to learn Spanish.
Mm.
Because, like, I've tried. It seems really hard. But I could. And I know I could if I actually, like, applied or, like, got a tutor or took a class or whatever. But that was what I kind of thought of as limiting beliefs. But that's not what we're talking about.
So it can be.
Well, necessarily.
Right. So what I would describe or how I would explain, like, a limiting belief is that it's a thought or experience, a perceived truth about ourselves that holds us back.
Right.
So it doesn't. It can be a true reality in our life, like the woman who said, and what is true for me and what is true for you is I'm not yet a mom. I'm not a mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. However, the connotation, our understanding of what that means in relation to my life is what can hold me back. That belief of what it means about me or about my situation in life that I'm not a mom is negative, and therefore that can hold me back from living my life fully, from pursuing that end, from creating meaningful relationships because I don't feel worthy because I don't hold this status or so forth. So
so it's not necessarily if the statement is technically speaking true or false.
Right. It's kind of the belief we hold.
As a result of that statement that we say or that we believe or we speak.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Because it's sort of this perception of someone who could say, could use that to hinder or hold himself back. Right. Okay. And so, you know, often what I say with my clients and what I've had to like do with myself and like all these things, and it's like, okay, yes. And
right.
Yes. Maybe that's true. It's not the only thing that's true though. And there's this phrase, this belief holds meaning in your life. Mm-hmm. And so let's look at that meaning and say, while that sentiment could be true, could it hold a different meaning?
Right.
Or could there be, or
could I see it in a different way? Is there a different perspective? Can I shift something in the way that I understand that, or in the way that I see myself living it out?
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to start with this one, but like this whole idea, like, I am not a mother, right? Like, is a great one to kind of look at. Mm-hmm. Because like that is going to be true for me biologically forever, right? But that doesn't, but there are like other ways that I can see that, like being a mother and what that means, right? Whereas hopefully for you, that's not true biologically forever, right? Like currently it is, but. Right.
But when we hold that idea, when we'll say, because it's typically when we ascribe negative things. So like we could say with fact, we are not moms. Oftentimes those intrusive thoughts are going to come in of I'll never be a mother, which would be as limiting to you as it would be to me.
Right. Even though I will never be a biological mother.
Right.
I mean, unless something crazy.
Let's not go there.
But I mean, no.
No. And so the tool there, the movement there to help us reframe in a way that's going to be most supportive to whoever is listening, because it's not a one size fits all, is like, well, what does mother mean to you? What is the capacity of mother? What is that definition of mother? Like, what does that mean to you? Because like in there, you're going to find like, okay, like, well, what is a mother? Because like, maybe there are qualities, traits, and attributes of mother that I can be living right now.
Okay. And I think too, important to point out, this isn't saying like, you get to define mother how you want to define mother, and I get to define mother how I want to define mother.
Yeah.
Like, we're not saying like, just like our culture kind of says, like, just shift the definitions and like, then it's fine. Like, that's not what we're saying, right? Like, this is not a birthing person.
Oh, God.
Right? That's not what we're saying. But it's also like, what are some of the aspects maybe of mother or motherhood, right? And like, how can we live that? Or what does that look like? Or how can I...
Qualities, traits, characteristics.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Which is why I love this. So the reframe, or what I like to call... a realistic perspective, right? So I'm not invalidating my own lived experiences or my clients' lived experiences when we say I'm not a mom and then we say, yeah, but like, screw that. Like, I'm not. And that hurts.
Right.
Yes. And what else is true? If we're going to look at reality, I need you to zoom out and see it all. And with that, so then the statement can become, you know, for you, the word never may be there because, like, biologically that may be true. For someone who's situationally, we may say the word yet. I'm not yet a mother. But the phrase would go something along the lines of, I'm not a mother and I always have the opportunity to nurture.
Yeah.
Because there's a spiritual motherhood that those who are, we're all called to. Like, we are all called to mother and to father, right? Like, men and women alike. And some of us are not called to do that biologically.
Right. I mean, I think that's partly like why we call priests father.
Absolutely.
Right. Like our brother Joe, when he becomes a priest, is never going to be a biological father.
Right.
But he dang well better be a father.
Yeah.
To his people, to his congregation, to his parish, not congregation. Right. Like he better be.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think like kind of the same with us. Right. Like. And it's interesting when I was like really thinking about my celibate vocation and like what that was going to mean and stuff like that, like there was certain wrestling with the fact that like by choosing a celibate vocation, right, by choosing to be a new Mary of Opus Dei, I was choosing to never be a biological mother, right? Like I was, or maybe for me, it was more a choice that like I knew I was giving that up because God was asking me to do, and I was willing to give that when I was giving all.
Accepting.
Exactly. Like I was accepting the fact that God was calling me to this and I was willing to give him that. But one of the things that I love is one, and this kind of helped me, and I hadn't really even thought of like, okay, then how do I mother? As a result, I was just like, I'm never going to be a biological mother. That's totally fine. And one of my good friends was probably the first to have a child of like all my friends while I was still, you know, obviously single, technically. And I texted her on Mother's Day and was like, hey, happy Mother's Day. Like, hope it's a great day. Like, you're first. I'm so happy for you, whatever. And she texted me back and she was like, happy Mother's Day to you too. And I was like, at first I was like, did she text the wrong person? Like, did she forget who I was? Rude. Do you have another friend named Katie that also just had a baby? Like, what's going on? But she was like, you are a spiritual mother to so many people, right? Like, you guide, you help, you support, and, like, you love in a way that a lot of moms love. Mm. Like, you give a lot of yourself to others. And I was like, yeah.
By God, I do.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and that has really helped me because, like, I never sit in, like, anymore. I mean, and I'm sure there are people who are celibate who do sit and think, like, I'll never be a mother. But I don't because I'm like, I have so many people in my life that, like, I'm giving to and, like, giving those kind of, like, motherly traits to
so
that I never think that. I'm very – I mean, that's very good.
This is why – and you're this living testimony to why reframing and realistic views help shift our entire worldview and our perspective and even our emotional reality. Because when I see that in these realities – there are simultaneously opportunities and that there are many ways to express a similar sentiment. Like, once I bring that into my mind, I see it. I see that everywhere. I see the opportunity to nurture. I see the opportunity to love and tend. I see the opportunity to. And then and what that does is it allows you to see the reality that your life is actually very rich and full.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely, I agree. And I think, I mean, it's definitely for me, like, has been a gift, like a gift of the Holy Spirit or whatever, to realize, like, oh, when I'm pouring into these other people, right, when I'm, like, offering spiritual direction or when I'm just, like, becoming friends with someone new, like, that's a chance for me to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Which is really good. I mean, I'm also very gifted because my parents, by the time I had become a new Murray, my mom had just gotten pregnant with our last sibling. And so they asked me to be the godmother, knowing, like, I was never going to have kids of my own, which I was, like, so moved by. And then since then, my siblings have been very good. And when each of them has a kid, usually the first or second, they ask me to be the godmother of. So I now have, like, 4 godsons, which is also just, it's a way for me to mother in a totally different way. You know, I pray a lot for them and, like, you know, take them.
Yeah, as a biological mom would.
Exactly. But, like, I'm far from them. Like, none of them live in St. Louis near me. But I, you know, I feel very much the, like, spiritual pull to care for them from a distance, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. So I think we're going to go through a couple other maybe limiting beliefs that are a little bit, well, some of them may be similar, some of them may not. But I think one often for some situationally single people, like, there are moments where they kind of have this belief or this thought of, like, I am alone and unloved.
Even when you have, like, a bunch of friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's well, because loneliness is not proximity to people. Loneliness is connection. So I could be lonely in a crowd of people because I don't feel connected.
Sure.
And, you know, I think there are times where, depending on what age you're at in your singleness, there's a feeling of, like, being left behind. The group has moved on. The group is all married. The group is all having babies, like, so forth. And so there are moments where you want, like, your person, right? That, like, one person who knows you kind of better than anyone else. And so there's an opportunity, right? Or a lie that kind of sits in of, like, you are alone and you are unloved.
I mean, I think those who are vocationally single too could have those moments, right? Yeah. Like, maybe, you know, maybe you're just not getting along well in family life or in community life if you're, you know, a nun or something like that. And you're like, I just am not connected with any of these people, right? Like, I just don't feel loved by anyone here necessarily, right? Or I feel kind of abandoned or not cared for the way that, like, I thought I would be cared for when I entered this way of life, right? So I think, you know, like, it's not necessarily probably something that's just for those who are situationally single. I think there's definitely times that those of us vocationally single can feel that as well or believe that, right?
Yeah. So I think the counter to that would be to remind ourselves, I am loved by and connected with many.
Mm-hmm. And what about if, like, statistically speaking, it's not many?
Sure. I think we want, what this is doing is this is highlighting, like, our reality. And so we want to see that, like, you know, we don't, it's quality, not quantity. Like, mm-hmm. to be loved by, like, 3, but loved abundantly is better than to be loved by, like, 30, but poorly.
Sure.
So, you know, thinking about, this is a little bit of a mental challenge, too, to be like, well, can I recognize and accept how much people actually do love me? Because sometimes we dismiss that or mm-hmm. we take it for granted. And then if this doesn't resonate or feel true, it's not a negative or a bad thing. It's simply an opportunity to grow mm-hmm. in connection with others and to say, like, this is something, this is maybe a deficit in my life. And that mm-hmm. means that's an opportunity to invest and to grow further.
I think this is making me think. So one of the things that, you know, for me, living in family life with a bunch of, you know, people you're not related to and you're like living all together and something like that. One of the things that was the most helpful for me when I was like feeling alone, even living in, you know, a house with whatever, 7 other women and whatnot, was realizing like everybody has different love languages. And to remember that, like, sometimes the love language that you want to receive the most is not the one that comes most naturally to people to give, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, my love language is words of affirmation mm-hmm. to receive, and it's deeds of service to give, right? So I need people to give me words of affirmation. Most people aren't very good at words of affirmation, I will tell you. But people are really good at, like, service, or they're really good at quality time, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, someone reaching out and being like, hey, do you want to grab coffee? And I'm like, I mean, okay, like, why are we doing that? And that's, like, that's their bid for connection. Yeah. That's them being like, I love you and I mm-hmm. want to spend time with you, right? Or, you know, they, whatever, went and, like, did your laundry or changed your sheets or, you know, dropped off fresh towels. And you're like, I could have done that.
Yeah.
Instead of like, no, like this was her thinking of me mm-hmm. and loving me enough to do this. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes we get caught up in the, like, wanting people to love us
the way we want to,
the way we want to be loved. And like, it's not a bad thing to communicate those things sure. and to say like, I need this more than that and that kind of a thing. But, you know, sometimes I think when, like, I notice this too, when I'm feeling particularly like, I feel so alone, or like, I feel like disconnected. Sometimes I have to be like, okay, wait, but like, what is, you know, so-and-so's love language? Have I experienced this from her mm-hmm. lately? I have. Right? And then, you know, those kinds of things. And then also too, giving love mm-hmm. in family life or in community life to be, I mean, even just in biological family, sometimes mm-hmm. to think like, okay, but what does this person actually need? Yeah. And can I give them that instead of what comes most naturally to me to give?
What I want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, you know, this is one of, it sounds like, many, like, parallels, right, mm-hmm. between kind of vocationally and situationally single, that there is that temptation to tell ourselves, I'm alone and I'm unloved. But that's mm-hmm. not true. And when I was kind of, like, moping about this and wallowing a little bit and being like, God, why? It came to me, Holy Spirit, energy, just really kind of being like, no, but I've never left you.
Mm.
And I was like, ugh. Yeah, but still, like, but kind of this moment of this opportunity, right, where God was presenting to me this reality check
sure.
of you continue to put this desire in the hands of people mm-hmm. who are going to continuously let you down because they're human and they're right. flawed and they're going to fall apart and they're going to mess up and they're going to misstep and they're going to, you know, and some relationships are going to end and XYZ is going to happen. You know, and God saying, like, to me, and I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people, but never. Saying pretty clearly, like, but I have never left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
yeah. And I think that's, you know, for all these limiting beliefs we have, I think it's good to look at it, you know, like, in the sense of like, okay, the reality of life, but then also like, how do I put it through the God perspective as well? Like yeah. the God lens.
So these right? reframes, I like this realistic view, like, let's realistically look at our life and say, like, is this actually true? And where are the situations where it's not? And like, you know, how can I apply this a little differently in my life? And then to look at this and say, like, okay, like, what is the God reframe here?
Mm-hmm.
And that he, you know, has never left us and he has never stopped loving us. And so this I'm alone and I'm unloved could not be further from the truth.
Right. Right. That you would not, if he stopped thinking about you for a split second, you would not exist anymore. Like you would just be gone. I just saw this short video from Father Mike Schmitz who said, who was making some comment like, yeah, yeah. People are always like, yeah, God loves us. Right. And like the collective us. And he was like, I don't think you realize what it means when we say God loves you or God loves us. He was like, God did not need to choose to bring you into existence. Mm. He wasn't collectively like, I'm going to make a billion people. Like, that's not, he was like, I am going to make you Monica. Mm. And you're going to be born in 1994.
Good job.
Yes. You're going to be born in 1994. And I need you in the world. From 94 until whenever he takes you, right? To like be there and be present. And I love you and I made you this way, right? And I think like that's so important for us to keep in mind. And like to your point, like I've never left you is like he wants you now, not just as a collective, but anyway, you know.
So I think I'm curious if this limiting belief is also true for vocationally single individuals, but I often hear and I have felt myself, I'm not where I want to be.
So I think it can be, I would say a little bit more, well, I'm sure for some, if they're like hoping to grow the corporate ladder of their order, like I'm thinking like of our, like our brother, right? Who's about to be a priest. Like if you were one day being like, oh, I want to be a parish priest. Like I want to, sorry, I want to be,
A pastor.
And then like, oh, I would like love to be the bishop one day. I mean, hopefully most of our priests aren't like, I want to grow like in this hierarchical way. I don't think that's really the spirit of what most religious life is. So maybe in that way, if that's a little disordered. But I would say in a not disordered way, perhaps maybe career-wise for those who have vocations that are more in the world, right? Like a numerary or something like that, where sometimes you're like, I'm not where I want to be because like I thought I would be further along in my career.
Yeah.
Right. I thought I would be more established or better professional or I would be a
XYZ
corner office person.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. So the counter to this that is both realistic and God-centered would be what?
I mean, I think it's that you're exactly where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, okay. So like you're at where you're at right now, but like, that was God's plan.
Yeah. You are where you're meant to be.
Right.
It doesn't mean, so accepting that doesn't mean we wave the white flag.
Yeah. And stop working towards goals. No.
And it's also like many things can be true at the same time in which we say like, I accept this. I'm at peace with this. I'm okay here. I can be happy here. And I didn't want it. I don't love it. Like, it wouldn't be what I choose.
Sure.
And I'm working towards something different.
Right.
It can all be true. It's difficult to hold that in the balance. But what is true is that you only have today and you only have what God gives you when he gives you as he gives you. And he's given you exactly where you are.
And I think too, as we work through all of these things too, I think it's important to remember that a lot of these limiting beliefs that we're talking about, I think even married people experience.
For sure.
Right? Like to be like, because I think sometimes it can be really, I don't know, we can get caught in this mentality like this is something only the single struggle with.
Sure.
Right? Like we're alone in this. This is what we go through. And the reality is, I'm sure there are a lot of women out there who are like, I am not where I wanted to be right now. And maybe that means I don't have the kids I wanted or I don't have the career that I wanted and I thought I was going to do both. Or I'm not the mother I wanted to be.
All of
or
it.
Or I don't live where I wanted to live.
All of it.
You know?
I think that the, what I tell my clients is the grass is greener where you water it. So it's easy to say when I, then I. Kind of like we talked about last week of delaying life, but this false idea that I'll be happier when I'm married or I won't be sad when I'm at this point in my life. But we cultivate the life. And so like, you know, marriage or these particular, you know, milestones in our life are not an escape or they're not better. They're different. Mm-hmm. They're simply mm-hmm. different. So your struggles, we're all struggling. Your struggle in singleness will just be different from your struggle in married life, but
right.
you're going to struggle.
Right.
And so the benefit of kind of doing this exercise is that, one, we're able to identify what some of these intrusive thoughts are, or these limiting beliefs, or these things that we hold mm-hmm. as a negative in our life. And we work through, we develop this muscle to see life realistically, to bring God into that space and to reframe it.
Yeah.
And that, if we can hone that skill, that will carry into any other milestone or any other situation in your life. Sure.
Absolutely. We have like 5 or 6 more of these limiting beliefs. I think we should turn this into a 2-episode.
Yeah.
Series, little podcast series. So we're going to pause now. We're going to end this episode, and then we're going to pick up next week talking about the rest of these limiting beliefs that we have. So that's it for this week of Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you. And this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled on Instagram, or shoot us an email, singlenotstalled@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly